Pitriyam chastanam atishta yatoktam brahmavadibi maya veshamanastata kuru karmani matparaha. After performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom, sit upon the throne, and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed upon me. Without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas as a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasadai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Kauravani Vacharne Nirvisesa Shunivadi Paskatya De Satarne. Karmanaiva hisam siddhim astita janakaraya loko sangraham evapi sampashan kartum arhasi. Kings such as Janaka attain the profession solely by the performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Prabhupada explains that everyone requires an example in order to understand how to perform the activity properly. Therefore, although Arjuna had already reached the perfection, and the perfection Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayeva mana adatsva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivashi shashi maeva, ato urvam nasamshaya. Mayeva mana adatsva. So Krishna advises Arjuna, first of all, to fix one's mind upon him. Our minds are constantly being fixed on different objects, and generally the mind is the center for the senses. Therefore, the general activity of the mind is to go out to the senses and examine the sense objects. But Krishna consciousness means instead to fix the mind upon Krishna, Krishna's devotional service, and also be Krishna. And therefore, becoming aloof from the activities of sense gratification. Prabodhananda Saraswati has said, Kaivalya Narakayate, Tridasha Pur Akasha Pushpayate, Dordentendriya Kalasarpa Prokata Damstrayate. So he says that if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then the senses become just like poisonous snakes with their fangs extracted. Damstrayate. Damstrayate means teeth. Kaivalya Narakayate Tri Dasha Pur Akasha Pushpayate Dordentendriya Kalasarpa Prokata Damstrayate. Patali Prokata Damstrayate. So the senses Dordanta means the teeth. Indriya. The senses are just like serpents, poisonous fangs of a serpent. They're always biting the conditioned soul, inflicting poison upon him in the form of materialistic desire. But if one takes to the devotional service of Krishna, then the poison from the senses become extracted, and one will not become disturbed by the activities of the senses. Instead, the activities of the senses will help one remember Krishna, and in the association of Krishna, come to the spiritual platform. Therefore, for a devotee, he has no reason to perform prescribed duties, because the ultimate prescribed duty for all conditioned souls is to come to the spiritual platform, to come into the association of Krishna, to become Krishna conscious, specifically by Mayeva mana adatsva, by fixing the mind upon Krishna. The conditioned soul is in darkness because he's misidentifying himself with the material body, and therefore he's
thinking that by some arrangement of this in this material world, he's going to become happy. And therefore he's desiring some kind of arrangement in this material world. And Krishna, by his mercy, is fulfilling that desire through his material energy. And the conditioned soul is thinking, now I've become wealthy, now I've become poor, now I've become happy, now I've become distressed. He's imagining so many different things, but all these imaginations are all under the three modes of material nature, all products of illusion. Because the soul is never actually in contact with the material body, in the sense that just like water may be in contact with dirt and it may become cloudy, but water remains separate, the dirt remains separate. And so in the same way, the spiritual soul is always different from the material body. Simply by contact with the material body through his consciousness, he's experiencing different situations in the material world. Sometimes he considers the situation to be stressful, sometimes happy. But his ultimate benefit is to not desire a new material situation, but to desire Krishna, and therefore get a spiritual situation. And therefore Krishna advises to put the mind upon Krishna. Mayeva mana adasva. And not only to think of Krishna, but while one is in the material world, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. One should also understand things thoroughly, otherwise one will not be able to maintain one's Krishna consciousness. One should know perfectly well how things in the material world are situated in Krishna consciousness, see things in relationship to Krishna, understand things perfectly, and to utilize one's intelligence in the service of Krishna. And then the result is, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivashishashi ma evam, atu urvam nasamshaya. And then without any samshayam, without any doubt, one will come and live with Krishna. One can live with Krishna even in this material world. It is not necessary to change the body to live with Krishna. It is simply a question of desiring to be with Krishna. Therefore, Lord Nrisimhadeva was telling Prahlad Maharaj that you should sit on the throne and you should execute the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Because people in general do not very easily take to Krishna consciousness. Most people have come to the material world for some kind of material enjoyment, and it's very difficult for them to understand that there's a transcendental position, there's a transcendental enjoyment, there's a transcendental consciousness. But if they take to the Vedic culture, if they accept even part of the Vedic culture, and when they see that it actually works, it actually improves their life, then naturally they become interested in finding out more about it. And the more one becomes involved in the Vedic culture, the more one sees its perfection, appreciates its perfection, then gradually one makes progress towards Krishna consciousness. But if the leaders neglect the regular duties of Krishna consciousness, then the result will be that people in general will think that these duties are useless. Let's try and imitate whatever the leader is doing. Therefore it says, Tarko apratishta shrutiya vibhina. One may argue for the sake of arguing. So many people argue, I think this, and someone else thinks that. But the point is, it doesn't really matter what anyone in particular thinks. Just like I may get into an argument with someone over philosophy and give my opinion. And while I'm giving my opinion, the person doesn't listen. He's simply thinking of what he can say to counteract or to counter whatever I'm saying. But he doesn't hear me, and when he gives his opinion, his understanding of things, I don't listen to him. I simply try to figure out how to defeat him. Therefore, tarko apratishta, such type of arguments are useless. Many times Prabhupada would speak, and he'd speak to speak, especially if one goes to India, because India, they have some kind of culture still left, and they're very much, many of the Indians there are very proud of their culture. But ultimately, because they lack training, their conception of the Absolute is impersonal. They have a hodgepodge philosophy, hodgepodge philosophies are very much popular in India. Therefore, even they go to a sadhu, a saintly person, they expect the sadhu to agree with their philosophy. They expect the sadhu, whatever nonsense thing that they say, the sadhu is supposed to say, oh, very nice, you have my blessings. May you realize your nonsense philosophy more and more. But Prabhupada wasn't that type of sadhu, so many times people would come and they give their nonsense philosophy about how we're all one and, you know, the goat is, you know, just like Prabhupada would preach something like Vivekananda is a nonsense rascal. He was saying that there's goat Narayan and there's rich man Narayan, and that let the goat Narayan merge into the belly of the rich man Narayan. And that is perfection of the goat Narayan. He's merged into his belly. So you give him some philosophy like that, and Prabhupada said, this is all nonsense, he's a rascal, you're a rascal, for pointing out. And they'd get all confused, because generally no sadhu would ever say that. They'd say, oh yes, it is. You are such an intelligent person, this is another unique philosophy you have. I am even learning by hearing about goat Narayan merging into rich man Narayan's belly. So Prabhupada was not that type, and ultimately if people wouldn't listen to him, he'd say that if you don't want to listen submissively, then why do you come here and ask questions? Why do you waste your time? And why do you waste my time? It is simply a waste of time. You are coming here to give your philosophy, but I have no interest at all in your philosophy. I believe in Krishna. And I'm giving you my philosophy, but you have no interest in my philosophy either. You want to give me Brahman or some kind of other nonsense thing. So don't waste my time. Then unless you're prepared to surrender, there's no sense of questioning. And you think that there's no one, you should find someone to surrender to. Therefore, such type of activity is apratishta. It is simply always changing, therefore waste of time. And shrutaya vibhina, everyone has their scripture. We say Bhagavad Gita works. Why do we support Bhagavad Gita? Because we have some practical experience. We have faith in Bhagavad Gita because we've studied Bhagavad Gita. We put it into practice to some extent, and therefore we've realized what it says in Bhagavad Gita. Ultimately, it says in Bhagavad Gita is that Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, Purusham Shastitam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. Bhagavad Gita says that Krishna is the supreme abode, the supreme purifier, the ultimate person, transcendental, divine, etc. That Krishna is God. But if someone says, well, I don't believe that, then I have my scripture. I have the Shiva Samhita, and there it says that Lord Shiva is God, and that ultimately you have to surrender to him, etc. That is all right. Therefore, there is also, it's a waste of time discussing Shastra if people are discussing two different Shastras. They have faith in two different Shastras. For instance, many times people, especially in America, maybe not so much here, but there are so many born-again people from different religions. They're born again. There's the born-again there's a born-again evolutionist. It doesn't matter what you tell them, all they can think of is, whatever you tell them, they just translate into their evolutionist philosophy. They can't believe that anyone could believe anything other than evolution. Just like the devotee, wherever you tell him, he tries to see it from the point of view of Krishna consciousness. So for the born-again evolutionists or the born-again Christians, they have their authority, they have their scripture, and whatever you say, they simply translate it into their worldview, known as paradigm, and they simply give it back to you. They simply repeat it in a way that they think now you can understand it more perfectly from the higher point of view of Darwin or Freud or something else. So therefore, Shruteya Vibhina, there are so many scriptures, and therefore, unless you have the same scripture to discuss philosophy from, their faith in two different shastras. For instance, many times people, especially in America, maybe not so much here, but there are so many born-again people from different religions. They're born again. There's the born-again there's the born-again evolutionists. It doesn't matter what you tell them, all they can think of is whatever you tell them, they just translate into their evolutionist philosophy. They can't believe that anyone could believe anything other than evolution. Just like the devotee, wherever you tell him, he tries to see it from the point of view of Krishna consciousness. So for the born-again evolutionists or the born-again Christians, they have their authority, they have their scripture, and whatever you say, they simply translate it into their worldview, known as paradigm, and they simply give it back to you. They simply repeat it in a way that they think now you can understand it more perfectly from the higher point of view of Darwin or Freud or something else. So therefore, Shruteya Vibhina, there are so many scriptures, and therefore, unless you have the same scripture to discuss philosophy from, it is also a waste of time. And Asavari Shiryas Jani Vina, and every sage is speaking to a certain audience. No sage is for everyone. Krishna tried to be for everyone. For instance, he spoke Bhagavad Gita in such a way as to help encourage the karmis, those who are interested in fruitive activities. He has every karmi, quotes Bhagavad Gita, karma nyeva dikaraste ma pale shukadachina ma karma pala hetur bur mato stanga sukarmani. Every person in India, he knows that verse backwards and forwards. You can do your duty, but just take what you need. God never says to stop doing our duties. That's the essence of Bhagavad Gita. I do my duty. That's all you have to do. Go to work, make your money, and provide for your family. Therefore, then your life is perfect. And Krishna encourages the Gyani by saying, Gyanivat matma bhavanam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapajyate. That the Gyani is the best of all the different types of persons who surrender to me. Krishna says the Gyani is the best. And he encourages the yogi, yogi namapi sarvesham, and he encourages the bhakta. So Krishna is trying to encourage everyone, and even after speaking Bhagavad Gita, encouraging everyone, ultimately no one surrendered to Krishna practically. Prabhupada said there are so many editions in the Bhagavad Gita in the West. When he came, there were 25 different editions, actually 600 different editions, and after reading it, everyone took what they wanted from Krishna, and they forgot about him. They took what they wanted and tried to get rid of him. Generally, when you do that in the West, they call it plagiarism. But if you do it to Krishna, then it's called philosophy. Therefore, hearing from so many different sages, one will never get the right conclusion, because all one will hear is different conclusions. Everyone says they're the authority. Everyone says, follow me. Therefore, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta. One has to choose some authority, but ultimately it said, Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhaya. If one wants to find out what is the real purpose of existence, what is the reality of the material world, then Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta. One has to follow some authority. One has to surrender, in other words. It's not enough, just in the Western world nowadays, it's called the eclectics. They say, yes, we appreciate everyone. This is one of the most popular philosophies. We take a little bit from everyone. We don't acknowledge anyone as our authority. That we simply borrow from everyone, we appreciate them, once in a while we thank them for it, and then we give them our combination, our smorgasbord philosophy, and we try to enlighten them. So there's no surrender. The only surrender ultimately is to what my mind concocts at that moment. And then the next moment it concocts something else and I surrender to that as divine. But if one wants to find out what is the real Dharma, what is real virtue, then nihitam guhayam, it's hidden in the heart of a self-realized person. A self-realized person, he doesn't simply speak to anyone, he only speaks to someone who's actually going to benefit from it. Therefore, one has to mahajno yena katasapanta, one has to surrender it per padyante, one has to surrender. Otherwise, there's no real communication, and there's no real benefit that happens. Prahlad Maharaj, he set the example here, the ritualistic activities he'll perform. People in general, they follow it because they, at least in the Vedic culture, the king, he was the leader. Because nowadays, who's the leader of modern society? Prabhupada said, for the rock, people who follow rock music, then maybe the Rolling Stones, they're the Mahajans. For those who take drugs, maybe Timothy Leary is the Mahajan. For those who are interested in becoming a demon, maybe Aranyakashipu or Ravana is the Mahajan. So people will take their own Mahajans and they'll follow it because everyone will have to have some kind of leader. Of course, nowadays, Vivekananda may be the leader of those who are simply interested in speculating. But someone will be the leader. But if we want to really find out what the real truth is, we have to take a Krishna conscious devotee is the leader. So Prahlad Maharaj was such a person. He followed the Veda culture. So the people would become elevated, those who are interested in following the king. And that was practically everyone. And for those who are devotees, then Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna is advising him as a devotee to always fix his mind upon him without any deviation, to always be engaged in rendering service to him according to the Vedic injunctions, with his full intelligence. Not to become deviated by some other idea. Therefore, to set a perfect example for the people in general, and at the same time, always remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. And that way, he would fulfill all his obligations. That there is no need for doing anything else. Prabhupada gives the verse here, Devarshir Bhutatma Rinam Kit. That if one simply serves Krishna, then automatically all his obligations are fulfilled. Taramula tripta visheshanena triptyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka. That if one waters the root of a tree, then automatically all the leaves and branches are automatically satisfied. So if one externally executes the rules and regulations of the Vana Anashram system, and at the same time always meditates upon Krishna in devotional service, and does his activities for Krishna's pleasure in full Krishna consciousness, then his life becomes perfect. On the other hand, if one simply executes the Vedic rituals without Krishna consciousness, then whatever he does is not going to be very perfect. He'll always have some kind of obligation. The perfect example is King Nariga. King Nariga, he tried so hard to do everything right. He's giving away in charity to the Brahmins Because it is said that according to who you give charity to, you get a result of that, of the person's utilization of that charity. He didn't go on the street looking for drunkards to give charity to. He didn't give it indiscriminately. He gave it to persons who could actually utilize the charity for their benefit and for other people's benefit, to learned, qualified Brahmins. He gave away more cows in charity than the number of sands of grains on the beach. So anyone who wants to find out how many cows in charity he gave away, we can start now to count the number of grains of sand on the beach. It's quite a bit. Or the number of stars in the sky. And he gave them not just cows, but each one of the cows had gold-plated hooves and silver-plated horns and a nice silk wrapper. And not only he gave away cows in charity, he built roads and he dug wells. He did so many things in charity. Therefore, his pious activities were unlimited, and the amount of pious credit he had was also unlimited. Therefore, the amount of material enjoyment he'd receive in the heavenly planets was also unlimited. He tried to do everything perfectly perfect. Unfortunately, one time he gave away a cow in charity to one Brahmin, and that same cow wandered back into his herd, and he gave that cow away in charity to another Brahmin. So when the first Brahmin saw that his cow was now in the herd of the other Brahmin, he said, "Give me back my cow." He said, "No, the king gave it to me." He said, "No, the king gave it to me." And a quarrel ensued over that cow. Therefore, the king went to both Brahmin and promised 100,000 cows in charity to each. He'd give 100,000 cows in charity to each Brahmin in exchange for that one cow. But the Brahmins were so much interested in that one cow and in fighting with each other that they refused, that they didn't even hear the king. Instead, they both went away angry, cursing the king for the sinful activity of giving something in charity and taking it back. So at the end of his life, the king was brought before Yamaraj, and Yamaraj said, "Your pious activities are so unlimited, there's no end to your material enjoyment. Unfortunately, you've committed this sinful action, and therefore you'll have to receive some impious reactions. So which do you want first, your impious reactions or your pious activities?" So he thought, "Let me enjoy," King Nariga thought, "Let me enjoy my pious activities undisturbed. So I'll take my impious reactions first." So at once Yamaraj turned him into a lizard and he was put on the bottom of a well. And then he realized life in the material world is not so pleasant. Therefore, at that point, he began to remember Krishna. He began to chant Hare Krishna, meditate upon Krishna, and ultimately Krishna delivered him. No one could possibly follow the Vedic injunctions more carefully than King Nariga. Still, he wound up in a miserable situation, inadvertently, not even due to seemingly his own fault. But he actually became purified and joyful when he became Krishna conscious. Therefore, tyaktva dharma charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvo yat yato pato yadi yatra kwa vavajama buddha mushakim kovartak apto bhajitam sadharma taha. That when they perfectly execute his duty, tyaktva sudharmam charanam bhujam harer. When they give up his prescribed duty and take the devotional service, bhajana pakvo ya patet yato yadi. And because he's not mature, he may fall down from his position of devotion. But what is the loss for him? Although he may not get such an as auspicious next birth as someone who very carefully performs his prescribed duties, but because he has executed something in Krishna consciousness, Therefore, he gets eternal benefit. He's progressed his life towards the eternal kingdom of Krishna. On the other hand, even one very perfectly performs his prescribed duties, and even he goes to the heavenly planets, but what is the real gain for him? Because ultimately he'll fall down from that position and wind up at zero, with no credit at all, no gain at all. So the purport is, if one wants to really be dutiful, if one wants to do the right thing, if one wants to do something beneficial, then he should engage himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, one should not deviate from the rules and regulations of the Vedas. One should try to understand what is the proper way of acting in the material world so that people in general do not become disturbed, and at the same time, one can most easily maintain his Krishna consciousness. So one has to act in the material world for the maintenance of his body, and according to one's own psychophysical nature, one should take shelter of the Vedas for such activities, but that is not sufficient for actual advancement. That in itself will have no real benefit unless one takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, by which one eventually comes to the platform of being able to fix his mind upon Krishna. Fixing the mind upon Krishna begins with the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one also has to come to the platform of remembering Krishna, his form, his quality, his pastimes, and being able to do so in a loving mood, feeling Krishna's presence all the time, and therefore come to the platform of full consciousness and ecstasy. That's Krishna consciousness. Being ecstatic, or it's translated by Rupa Goswami as being realizing one's eternal nature, therefore always being very patient, and at the same time being actually conscious of Krishna fully without any doubts, asamshaya, samagram, and at the same time being fully enthusiastic, fully ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. That is the real benefit. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
In the Krishna book, Prabhupada talks about King Yudhisthira's decision to enjoy suffering, the typical material population. I mean, Yudhisthira's suffering so he can enjoy freedom, the typical material population. And then I couldn't put it all together because he made this mistake, but he does see Krishna. So why was it considered? I mean, normally you make this calculation, you don't see Krishna.
Well, Prabhupada was just pointing out that he didn't think, what does Krishna want me to do? He thought, what is good for my sense gratification? That's typical material calculation. Everyone wants to enjoy sense gratification, and everyone wants to avoid those things that disturb sense gratification. Therefore, such an activity is not Krishna conscious, it's simply material. But when he was put into a suffering condition, he came to his senses and began to remember Krishna. And because of his absorption in Krishna consciousness, Krishna came and picked him out of the well. Not because he gave cows away in charity or he did anything pious that Krishna came. It's simply because he became absorbed in Krishna consciousness as a frog. A lizard, actually. Yeah, that's the advantage of living in the Veda culture. There's so much Krishna consciousness. Although people take it as an avenue for their sense gratification. Therefore Krishna says, akama sarva karma va moksha kamo dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha para. That in any condition of life that one should take to Krishna consciousness. Whether one has full of desires or wants liberation or has no desire, one should somehow or another take to the process. So Veda culture is like that. it says, yes, worship Vishnu, and you get all your desires fulfilled. So he was pious enough, he was a devotee of Vishnu, of the Brahmins and the cows. Therefore he got some Krishna consciousness. But the idea is he wanted elevation to the heavenly planets. But when he was put into the suffering condition of a lizard, he realized, I'm just wasting my time in the material world. There's no end to the suffering here. There's no pure happiness here. And therefore he gave up his idea of material happiness and simply took to Krishna consciousness. It wasn't that he was a lizard in the well and someone came along, sold him a book in the well, and he began to read it, realized this is a miserable condition. There's no opportunity like that. Simply because he was in the Veda culture previously, he got that opportunity. Most lizards in wells, they didn't have that background. Therefore, they're not Krishna conscious. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.